Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. Today on the HR Power Hour, we're going to be talking with two great guests, Don Patton, the Global Accounts Director for Berkman Learning Partners, and Todd Grove, National Director, Worksite Solutions for LTC Financial Partners. We're talking with Don Patton, the Global Account Director for Berkman Learning Partners. Don, how are you doing today?
I'm well, David. Good to hear your voice.
Yes, I mean, great to have you on the phone. And certainly, I actually can say that I've heard you speak. You spoke at the Lincolnshire International Meeting in San Diego and talked to a number of the owners and partners there. And certainly, Berkman has been a partner of Lincolnshire for many, many years. So we appreciate the relationship and certainly the partnership that you provide.
Well, it's been our pleasure, too. It's been lots of time, lots of activities, and lots of growth. So I think it's been a pretty mutually rewarding activity for both of us.
No, absolutely. So for everyone out there who has absolutely no idea of what the Berkman is, because they may be saying to themselves, who's this guy and what's he talking about? Could you give an overview of the Berkman?
My pleasure, David. Berkman is a behavioral assessment developed by Dr. Berkman back in 1951. It's been around for more than 60 years, and its uniqueness is the original corporate focus for Berkman, which is individual self-awareness and empowerment, knowing more about yourself. So Berkman is a unique assessment created from one questionnaire, which delivers information about an individual's motivating interests, their usual behavior, which is what most assessments provide. But Berkman also delves a little bit deeper into understanding motivational needs, and when those needs aren't met, what your stress behaviors look like, which aren't quite as attractive. And blended into all of that within the same questionnaire is also an understanding of what job alignments look like, or particularly job focus. And therefore, the Berkman assessment is broadly used in career management, in leadership and coaching, executive coaching activities, as well as succession planning and a variety of other individual coaching applications.
So if somebody was saying to themselves, okay, so it's another assessment, tell the individuals out there, if they're thinking about, what is this like? Is it like a Myers-Briggs? Is it like a DISC? Is it like something that I may know? Or is it, as you described, kind of a little bit different from those?
Good question, David. Actually, all assessments provide a pretty good insight into usual behavior. What do you look like today? The two you mentioned, MBTI, DISC, 16PF, they do a pretty good job of that. What Berkman does quite uniquely is it provides another dimension of information, which is motivational needs. Why do you look like what you do? What are the things that you require from people around you or your environment that put you in your comfort zone and allow you to be productive and active? And as well, it also creates within the same questionnaire, as I mentioned earlier, that alignment of, if you look like that, what kind of jobs would you likely perform well at? And Berkman has a database of information that provides all of those links, all in the same questionnaire, too. And because Berkman, the Berkman instrument is a little bit complex because of all this dimension, its distribution and its use is principally through highly qualified and certified consultants. So it's not really a desktop activity. There is a real professional investment that's required to use it well.
So tell me a little about the components or elements of this program and how people can understand what it looks at.
A great question. In the first instance, Berkman takes the information off of the questionnaire answers and compiles it into a very easily understand and visually interesting grid, and tracks or traces the location of certain symbols which relate to either interests, usual behavior, need, or stress behavior on that grid. And they can be in different locations on the grid. what you see is not necessarily therefore what you get, which is, again, one of the unique things about Berkman. Other assessments tend to say, here's what you are. Berkman says, here's what you are, but here are other dimensions to your strengths and your needs. A second part that Berkman provides guidance in terms of intensity, is motivating interests. There's a hierarchy of things that you really are interested in, and those have been consistent since the time you're in kindergarten. And very, very interestingly, can identify and qualify those kinds of things or those kinds of activities that you like to do, and equally importantly, those things that you try to avoid. And that at a behavioral level, there are a variety of components in terms of working with people, working with structures and systems, working with the idea of authority and responsibility, and also approaches to way decision-making is made, and to the environment in which you like to undertake activities, either all together or one at a time. So a number of different components create a comprehensive outlook or overview of the things that motivate, support, and guide your usual day-to-day performances. So that's one of the unique things about Berkman, is it provides an incredible depth of information. And it also provides that information in the context of a comparison to social averages. So what do I look like compared to everybody else? It's another unique part of the Berkman assessment that allows coaches and individuals to use that information in a much more practical and focused way.
You talked a little bit about this assessment may help somebody with their career choices. Could you explain a little about how the assessment could be used for that area? And then we'll certainly talk about the coaching and maybe the team building after that.
Yeah, happy to, David. Berkman's research team have canvassed Berkman has been around for over 60 years and therefore has an incredible database of references in all job categories. Just recently, about 5 years ago, Berkman began reorienting all of the jobs within their database because jobs have changed with the new economy and the way that business is done through the internet and a lot of distance learning as well as off-site activities for individuals in jobs. The actual jobs have changed. So what Berkman has done is taken job descriptions that are now relevant to today's economy and been able to describe them in terms of activities and responsibilities within those jobs, and then summarize them according to behaviors and motivations that are similar. In other words, a number of individuals who have performed at a very high level at a particular job are qualified, their Berkman scores are compared, and their scores then are ranged in the context of job fit. So what Berkman can take a look at, based on an individual's Berkman assessment, is their overall job fit compared to a number of exemplary jobs, all the way from being a doctor down to being a street worker. So those are characteristics that have all created an ability to take a look at an individual's job fit, and that job fit then relates to the behaviors and motivations that would seem to be desired or preferred in that position.
No, that's great. And I think one of the things that does is that allows an individual to truly relate to the many different options that may fit within their, you know, their skill set or their beliefs in terms of how they really look at themselves and how they can move forward in a career. You know, we talked a little bit about that, but let's move into the coaching end of it, because I think this is an area where Berkman excels. And in terms of really making sure that coaches are able to work with their candidates to try to see a direction and focus of where they can really improve, especially in their stressors, right? And especially in how they behave within those stressors. So talk a little bit about that, please.
The Berkman approach to coaching is really about self-awareness, which I mentioned very early in our conversation was really what the Berkman assessment was created by Dr. Berkman to do, to give people information and awareness about themselves. The four steps that Berkman executive coaches typically follow are these. The first step is self-awareness. The second step is social awareness. How do I compare to other people? How do my scores compare to other people? If I can understand that, then I can move to the third step, which is self-management. What can I do to adjust some of my behaviors or to share with others what I need to allow me to be even more productive? And then the fourth level, if I can manage myself a little bit, is then I can begin to manage relationships. So self-awareness, social awareness, self-management, management of relationships. How Berkman does that is it provides a validated insight into those things that are motivating to you. And what an executive coach does simply is shares that information from the Berkman perspective through the individual's own story or celebrated successes and constant challenges that they've had either in their career or personal life. Berkman then allows that to be brought into focus, allows the individual to understand that those are simple things to adjust, and gives them the empowerment to share that information with other people if those are the behaviors or the needs that they have in order to be successful or to be more comfortable or to be more at ease within a particular relationship. So within the context of that discovery, a Berkman executive coach shares that information with the individual. The individual validates it through their own personal experience, and then an undertaking to do a number of activities to practice those new or desired behaviors is a part of the executive coaching engagement. And Berkman then provides just little checklists of information along the way that allow them to stay on track.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Hi, this is Peter Boldick at Harvest Hill Farms. For those folks who are looking for healthy eating alternatives, we have been raising natural range-fed beef and poultry right here in the great state of Maine for over 15 years. Let us introduce you to our Never Ever program. Our animals are never ever introduced to growth hormones or antibiotics, only raised as nature intended. We are conveniently located on Route 26 in Mechanic Falls. To find out more, call us at 998-5485 or go to our website, harvesthillfarms.com. That's harvesthillfarms.com.
Established in 2009, CrossFit Casco Bay is Portland's most experienced strength training facility. CrossFit is the principal strength and conditioning program for many police academies, elite special forces, champion martial artists, housewives, children, and everything in between. At CrossFit Casco Bay, you'll be able to reduce stress, manage weight and body composition, enhance physical strength and endurance, improve flexibility, and recover from injury or illness in a safe environment. The time is now. Stop in for a free demo. For more information, please visit CrossFitCascoBay.com. CrossFit Casco Bay, forging elite fitness.
MaineNewsSimply.com wants to celebrate the businesses that make Maine great. Businesses like yours. We're looking for innovative, interesting companies to feature on the Mimic Spotlight on Business. Simply log on to MaineNewsSimply.com and look for the link to share your company's unique story. MaineNewsSimply.com delivers headlines from over 50 of Maine's most respected news sources. The Mimic Spotlight on Business is a business profile series co-sponsored by Verrill Dana and Time Warner. Free, concise, timely. MaineNewsSimply.com, the easiest way to stay on top of the business news that matters in Maine.
And you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And we are talking with Don Patton. And Don Patton is with the Berkman Method. Yes, yes, he is. Don, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, I am again.
Yes, yes, you are. All right, so we talked a little bit about how somebody could use the Berkman Method having to do with enhancing their career. We've talked a little bit about how it can enhance an executive coaching. But one of the things we haven't yet talked about is team building, leadership development in that area. So talk a little bit about how it really can be effective in team building. And I will say that we are using this great tool for an upcoming event that we're doing, so I do know it can be effective, but give an example, if you can, of things in the past.
Yeah, my pleasure, David. Berkman has one of its original uses actually was within team building, because it allows an individual to understand their relationship with other people. And the Berkman method provides both an insight, as I've already mentioned, into their own behaviors, but with a trained facilitator can allow individuals to understand how their behaviors and motivations match or fit with other people within the group. So within the new organizational structures that are prevalent in business today, with horizontal management and people having to do many things and multitasking, working in small groups or self-directed work teams becomes a more and more a higher priority. So organizations and consultants serving those organizations have found that a team facilitation or a team building activity engages people in understanding how to work together much more effectively and much more quickly. In fact, in some major corporations, before an individual is assigned to a new responsibility, they have a little team facilitation session with that team so that they get to know each other very quickly and don't get into the problem of style versus content. Because most people are trying to solve the same problem, it's just that we come at it from different perspectives. And what Berkman provides, both the individual and the consultant, is an opportunity to understand the approach or the filter that they take to problem solving. There are generally four major directions you can come from in problem solving from the context of a Berkman. And those are to look through the filter of just do it, immediate activity, versus let's think about it for a while. Or let's talk about it first, versus let's take a look at all the data before we make a decision. Now you can see that those are pretty opposite in issues and inferences. And people who begin to or gravitate to one or another of those approaches tend to find a difficulty in getting their point across to others who can't really see their style. What a Berkman team building or team facilitation activity does is, first of all, grounds an individual on what they do best and how their style is likely seen by other people. And then in a team building activity, it shares that information with everybody else. So the disclosure occurs in a very non-threatening way, lots of times lots of humor, and it allows people with very different approaches and very different styles to perhaps for the first time understand each other, and with that understanding, give a little bit of ground. Be a little bit more relaxed and say, well, I don't see that you're doing this the way I would do it, but let me think a little bit longer about your approach here, and maybe there is something to it. It takes down that wall of uncertainty and wall of discomfort by understanding that people are trying to solve the same problem, but are just coming at it from a different perspective. And that familiarity then engages people in actually trying to help each other. And that help is really the positive part of team building. Team building or team facilitation is all about all of us are better than one of us. So if we can get all of us working together on the same team, then the solutions are likely going to be better. So in the end, what a Berkman team facilitation activity provides is a personal self-awareness, an understanding of how their activities or their strengths engage within the group, and then an offer or a request from the rest of the team as to what they could do to make their life, the individual's life, a little bit easier by filling some of their expectations or needs. In other words, to bridge that potential communication gap that style gets in the way of sometime rather than direction and content. I think that's a pretty good outline of what a team facilitation using Berkman can do.
No, I think that's a great overview. It really provides somebody to understand the use and how this can really be effective. And certainly I know that we have seen through Lincolnshire, this has been used many times and has worked many, many times and has really provided a valuable input to a group or team to really help facilitate more coming together of understanding of communication. Because at the bottom line, at the end of everything, it is about communicating between people and getting people to understand how they can better help the organization through better communication. I mean, that's what the bottom line is at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's a good summary. That's exactly what it is. And the wonderful outcome is that individuals who may come into a group completely misunderstanding or not even trusting another person will come out of that activity with a far better appreciation of how their role and their complementary engagement with another person can actually create a real significant value both to the group and to the outcome of the activity that that group is assigned to do.
You know, I think you bring up a good point. I mean, there are groups and there are people that sometimes their personalities don't click, or they may be looking for that same position that somebody has in front of them, or they may be challenging one another. You know, personalities are just that. You know, some personalities click, some personalities don't. And what this does help is really have people understand why the differences are there and some of the things that people can do differently to make that happen. Don, do you have an example maybe you could provide of maybe a company that this was done at and maybe one of the results that came from it?
Well, that's actually really a good question. I am familiar with one of the world's largest airplane manufacturers, and they were bring together a executive work team of engineers to create and supervise the eventual construction, design, and production of one of the new airliners. The two engineers who were needed to work within this group didn't like each other, didn't understand each other, didn't see where each other was coming from. They were engaged in with a consultant with a Berkman team facilitation activity, and the huge benefit of this whole thing was that these two individuals, these two project leaders who had to themselves work with other very high-performing engineers, began to see that it was not their content that was in the way, it was their style that was in the way. And as a consequence of their better understanding each other, they became actually the go-to team for problem-solving when they have crisis issues. And people in that organization couldn't believe that these two guys, who seemed to be one from Mars and one from Venus, could ever get together. But the Berkman allowed them to understand how to talk to each other, how to ask questions as opposed to give answers, and empower others by asking why. Why do you think that's the right way to do it? And those two or three clues allowed these two individuals to be celebrated project leaders and made a particular event most successful within that organization.
No, that's great. Now, when somebody looks at assessments, I'm going to ask kind of an overall question, because we do get these questions by company executives sometimes when we go in and certainly talk to them about having them take assessments, or we think it would be valuable to them for a CFO to take an assessment or CEO to take an assessment to try to get and rebuild these teams. There are sometimes hesitations to assessments. There are people that say, well, you know, we don't necessarily want to open up that can of worms. We don't want to necessarily know too much. We don't want to know, you know, all these little touchy-feely things. We do hear it. I'm sure in your line of work, in terms of going out and selling the product, you know, you probably hear people who are skeptical about assessments. Can you provide maybe some assurance as to why it's okay to do them? Why we've talked about obviously the value of them. That's unquestionable. But how do you overcome that objection? I should say, in terms of somebody thinking about it.
I think that's a really good question, and we do get confronted with the issue very often. The first step is usually to make an individual understand that it's all about them. That if everybody in the world has a different face, then everybody in the world likely has slightly different motivations and behaviors. Now, what a wonderful thing to be able to understand what those are a little bit better. Most people are infinitely curious about themselves. And so consultants using Berkman are all trained to ensure that they communicate and deliver a very confidential insight to individuals. It's all about self-awareness and empowerment, as I've mentioned earlier. And I've been at this now for more than 18 years, and I have never once in all that time had anyone say, this is useless. They have always found something of real value that they can use, mainly to allow them to be more comfortable in their own skin. Because if we're all different, we can't all try to be the same. And but understanding those differences allows us to be able to be much more effective in communicating with others. So we don't all comb our hair the same way. We don't all put our shoes and socks on the same way. We don't all speak to each other the same way. And as a consequence, understanding how your style, your communication style, the things that drive and motivate you may be slightly different than other people, and an appreciation that other people's perspectives and assets may be a real benefit to you, like if you're a good salesperson, you don't want to do all that accounting, then there's a huge opportunity for collaboration, self-awareness, and being in a position and in a job and doing an activity in that job that you really do well and that you're going to celebrate in terms of your own successes. So that's really the purpose of an assessment. The assessment is a self-awareness tool. It empowers you to know things, better things about yourself, and allows you to understand how you can focus and get benefit from your energies, from your experiences, from your skills, in a way that you might otherwise not be aware of.
Great, and we've been talking with Don Patton, Global Accounts Director for Berkman Learning Partner. Don, I got to thank you so much for being on the show today. If somebody wants to reach out to you, they can reach you at what number or what website?
We can be reached at www.berkman.com, and you can get me at area code 604-669-0080.
Or certainly anybody can go to the hrpowerhour.com, and you will find Don's link right here after the show. Don, thank you very much for being on the show. I appreciate it. Great information, as always.
Thanks very much, David. You have a great day.
You too. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we'll be right back.
Maine DOT has a special announcement for northbound drivers who routinely take I-295's Exit 15 in Yarmouth. Stop taking Exit 15. I repeat, stop taking Exit 15. It's not your exit anymore. It was your exit once, but not now. Forget about northbound Exit 15. Exit 15 is not for you. Actually, Maine DOT is adding a brand new on-ramp there, and to do that safely and quickly, closing Exit 15 is required starting March 12th. So if you're driving northbound on Interstate 295 and headed for Route 1 in Yarmouth, take Exit 10 in Falmouth or Exit 17. Temporary traffic signals will make taking those alternate exits safe and convenient. You can take Exit 15 southbound, but just forget all about Exit 15 northbound, at least until June. Sometime in June, you can take Exit 15 then. Take it all you want. Exit 15 will be yours once again. A message from Maine DOT. There's better road ahead. Drive safely.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Packers. Vikings.
We come from different places.
Uptown.
Downtown.
We come to different conclusions.
Half empty.
Half full.
But when we live united, we make a real difference in the building blocks of life. Children succeed in school, families gain financial stability, the health of our neighbors improves, and suddenly so do our communities. Real change won't happen without you.
Live united.
So give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Sign up today at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
And you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. Today we're talking with Todd Grove, a National Director, Worksite Solutions for Long-Term Care Financial Partners, or LTC Financial Partners. Todd, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Dave.
Well, you know, it's good to see you. I hadn't seen you in a little while. For all the guests out there that may not have known, Todd and I used to be neighbors in the same work complex. So since we moved downtown, and you've stayed to the West End.
Yes, that's right.
West End here in Portland. That's great. You doing well?
Very well, thank you, sir.
That's great.
And you?
Doing awesome. We're having a lot of fun. And I got to tell you, one of the things we're going to be talking about today is long-term care. This is one of those subjects that there are a lot of people and a lot of companies, a lot of professionals out there that say to themselves, I know I have to think about this, but it's not necessarily something I want to think about, right? I mean, it's just not something that
Absolutely.
People say to themselves, do I really want to think about this? Tell me a little bit about some of the statistics and why this is kind of important.
Sure. Well, if we focus on working Americans now, you're right. It's not a fun topic, and it's an easy one to put aside, but it's the biggest hole in most people's financial plan. And the problem is that right now, one in two Americans will be affected by long-term health care, and they'll either be a caregiver or a care receiver. And so when you look at that and understand the limits of major medical coverage, which will never cover long-term health care, a plan has to be put in place. The problem is a lot of employers in particular don't quite know how to go about educating their employees on this, and that's what we specialize in across the country.
You know, a lot of people may say to themselves, well, come on, we've got Obamacare. We've got, you know, the Affordable Care Act. This should basically cover me for the rest of my life. Isn't that correct?
It really is not, and that's a problem we deal with every day, is helping folks understand the limits of their major medical plan. So whether the Obamacare program is fully implemented, which we believe it will be, or not, whether you're on Medicare or not, no major medical plan ever will cover long-term health care. It will only cover up to 100 days of skilled-based, medically necessary rehabilitative care. After that, we're all on our own, and we have to use our savings, investments, 401ks, even our property.
So let's start with a quick thing, maybe definition. Long-term care is?
Long-term care is when we need help of some kind, either standby or hands-on assistance, either in our own home, assisted living communities, nursing facilities, basically needing help doing what you normally think of every day when you do stuff. You're bathing and getting dressed and eating and getting around, okay? We don't tend to think of it in the same way that, well, a lot of folks think of it simply as nursing home care when we're 95. Absolutely not the case. 40% of people needing long-term care under age 65. Car accidents, MS, muscular dystrophy, even cancer now is leading to long-term health care. So lots of myths about it, and it's important for employers to educate their employees on the limits of their health plans.
It's expensive, too. If you're talking about costs, and certainly I know from a personal standpoint with you know, family members that I know in long-term care, it's expensive. And you know, we're talking $100,000 plus a year sometimes.
It can be. Yeah, there's a big range, and it depends on whether you're at home. It depends on if you're in a facility. So you're right. It's extremely expensive, and your average American will go through their entire life savings within 9 months if they need long-term care. This was a study that was just released a few months ago. So very important piece of planning that, unfortunately, a lot of people just haven't gotten around to yet. Because you're right. It's no fun, but you got to do it.
Yeah, I don't think anybody wants to think about these things.
No way.
You know,
nope.
I liken this a little bit to disability insurance. Probably, maybe in some cases, disabilities do turn into long-term care in terms of, you know, certain things that can happen. But the reality is that these are things that people do need to think about. So talk to me about what somebody in a company, an organization, would say, well, this is my employee's problem. This is something that they're going to have to worry about, not something I as the owner, as I as the HR professional should think about or talk about with my employees. That's their personal message. That's right. Their own personal thing. How do you combat that thought process?
Well, you know, what you got to look at is the impact that long-term care is actually having to the workforce itself. And so right now, when you look at the impact of caregiving, we got a big problem. Doesn't matter whether in Maine or Montana or California, the workforce is aging. And as we're aging, we're taking care of our parents more. And those individuals are dealing with the stress of long-term care. And so what we try to do is to help educate those employees on how to deal with that stress so that they can reduce it and increase their productivity. This is not simply an isolated piece of financial planning. It's a holistic process of educating folks about long-term care and how it impacts the entire family and organization.
When you have a worker who's dealing with somebody in a long-term care facility, they're going to take more time off. They're going to need to deal with situations and times. How can planning for this really be done in an effective, efficient manner?
Well, we got two issues here. One is if you're in the mess right now, and if you're in it right now and you're dealing with a loved one, then you got to have some resources quickly at your disposal. One of the things our organization does is provide an online tool so employees, wherever they are in the United States, can quickly access information about all the caregiving services, whether it's home care or facility care, in the area that their loved one needs care in, so that they can, again, reduce the amount of time and stress put into figuring out a plan for that loved one. So that's one piece of it. The second piece is the employee themselves has got to plan ahead because it's difficult to get long-term care insurance. It's very, very challenging because of the health underwriting considerations. So it's important that the employer step forward and make it available to the employees so they can make it a little easier for them to get. And that's kind of what we try to help with.
When an employer is talking to you about, you know, taking care of their people, and I have said and will continue to say that 99% of all employers want to do the right thing to help their people.
Do.
I think there's no question that whenever we talk to, for, you know, CMA employers, or I'm sure you talk to them, they always want to do the right thing. It sometimes it comes down to cost, it comes down to time, it comes down to, you know, what is the real benefit to the employee and benefit to the company. Can you share some of those benefits that really help make an employer understand that it's okay to bring people in like your organization to help?
Yeah, it's interesting. A lot of companies will offer 401k programs because they need to retain high-quality people. But what they won't do is to look at ways of protecting that 401k against its biggest risks, which is long-term health care. So what I say to employers is, if you're going to help your employees plan, then help them finish it. And the way to finish the plan is to look at all the different risks that we face, and long-term care is a big one. The education is the key, and a lot of employers can't afford any more money for insurance right now. We get that. That's just the reality, regardless of whether Obamacare is fully implemented or not. That doesn't mean they can't make it available for their employees and provide them discounts and other advantages. So what I say is that, as you point out, most employers want to do the right thing, and the important thing is to provide the information so the employee can make their own decision. That's, I think, the most important thing an employer can do.
When you're talking to HR leaders and you address the need for them to support their employees, particularly those who are caregivers now, does this take a lot of time out of the day? Is it done through like a lunch and learn type program? Is it done individually, one-on-one? Kind of go through how it would be affected in the workplace so that you know, an HR professional, a business leader or owner might say, okay, I guess it's not as much time as I thought it would be.
In order to properly educate employees on long-term care planning, there needs to be one general session. That can be literally 45 minutes. From that point, what we do across the country is say to those employees, do you want to find out some specific information on your options? If you do, then yes, you do need a meeting one-on-one, but that does not have to be done on company time and should not be. So there are ways in which organizations can make a program available to provide a general level of information and education, and then the employees can make a determination on their own where they want to go from there. The problem is that the employees are not getting that general information from anybody else. They're not getting it from their car insurance guy. They're not getting it from their life insurance guy. They need to have basic information on long-term healthcare planning. And that should be done right now at the worksite.
You know, you talk about the statistics that you cite and you've provided today, which is almost one-fifth of U.S. workers are informal caregivers. And you talk about 83% report arriving late, leaving early, or taking time off during the day. 41% report having to take a leave of absence. 37% report going from full-time to part-time, and 35% report giving up work entirely. Those are pretty large stats.
They're huge. And the problem is a lot of employers know there's a problem, but they just don't know quite how to get their hands around it. And so by quantifying it and by addressing it and educating those employees on what their options are in the community to help limit that stress, you can increase their productivity and also cut their healthcare costs. The caregivers in this country right now, that 20% of the workforce that's a caregiver, accesses their health coverage 8% more often. So there's an increase in the premiums of those companies where you've got a significant number of caregivers, and we cannot quantify that. And when employers see that, it's a no-brainer to now provide a bit of education to limit some of that stress.
Stress is a killer.
Huge.
No, I mean, that's just a known fact. And certainly when you have someone who's a loved one or someone that you're taking care of, and that is a huge factor in somebody not necessarily doing their job productively, or making mistakes, or not getting the sleep they need, or other factors. So this has a bigger range and a bigger problem overall.
It is. It is.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Hi, this is Peter Boldick at Harvest Hill Farms. For those folks who are looking for healthy eating alternatives, we have been raising natural range-fed beef and poultry right here in the great state of Maine for over 15 years. Let us introduce you to our Never Ever program. Our animals are never ever introduced to growth hormones or antibiotics, only raised as nature intended. We are conveniently located on Route 26 in Mechanic Falls. To find out more, call us at 998-5485 or go to our website, harvesthillfarms.com. That's harvesthillfarms.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com. Today we're talking with Todd Grove, National Director, Worksite Solutions for Long-Term Care Financial Partners, or LTC Financial Partners. We're talking about the inevitable long-term care. Todd, thank you again for being on the show. And by the way, you owe me lunch. Just so I want to remind you of that. You know, just reminding you that. All right. We're taking care of personal business on HR Power Hour time. All right, well, we like to have fun here. So let's talk about long-term care, which is unfortunately not as much fun, but probably far more important than me having another lunch.
Most likely.
Most likely. All right, so let's talk about, first of all, a stat you have is employers lose an estimated $33.6 billion, that's B, billion dollars a year on productivity due to employee caregiving. We talked about stats in the last segment. Why so expensive, number one, in terms of the overall? And then two, could you provide some examples as to maybe a large and a small company of how it could work to help a company save money?
Okay, so there's, I guess, two issues here. One is the saving money piece, and the other is, again, making sure that they protect the money that they've saved in terms of the individual employees. Let's take a large company to start. Let's just take a company that has, oh, let's say 3,000 U.S. employees, 10,000 worldwide. They're looking for a way to help their employees and to, again, cut some stress and increase productivity. We would go in and do an educational program for their employees around the United States, and one in particular I'm thinking of, we had 12 different locations. You had quite a variety of employees there at all different levels of the income scale. But those employees all needed to learn about this issue. And so we would set up workshops at their different locations, bring in the employees, help them understand the issue. Those who were actually caregiving now, we actually asked them, you know, who here is involved in this. And we'd provide them this service we call Your Care Source. And they go on that website and they're able to determine what services are available for their loved ones to help provide them care, to help design a plan of care, to understand if there's a facility their mom is looking at that might have complaints against it. They might need a will or advanced directives. All these tools are available at their disposal 24/7. So the feedback from those employees has been extremely positive, and it has helped them to focus more on work when at work. In addition to that, we've been able to put a long-term care insurance program in place for all of the employees so that they can start planning ahead and putting a policy in place to pay the bills that many of those individuals who are dealing with this issue right now are facing with their own loved ones. So that's a large organization. Smaller companies, which make up most companies in America, might, let's say, have 20 or 40 employees. Well, again, that's a pretty easy thing to do. You get those folks together, you have a general session, and then afterwards, again, the individuals make up their minds, do I want to find out more about this or not? Most do. And it's surprising how many more people purchase long-term care insurance than the owners of the company ever thought would. And it's in large part because one story after another comes out in the general meetings of, yeah, well, I've dealt with it with this relative, and I've seen my mom deal with this, and I don't want to have that happen to my kids. And that kind of a conversation leads to some intelligent planning. It's an easy topic to avoid, but when you get folks in a room and they're talking about it, they'll start to really do the right thing.
And we are talking about doing the right thing. In the end, as we said, companies want to do the right thing
right.
for their employees, and employees want to do the right thing for their families. And so that's why we're really talking about this. You know, you brought a couple things up, and I just wanted to see if it has any factors or bearing to the insurance. One, is somebody's health a factor in regards of underwriting? And it doesn't matter if someone's younger or older in terms of having a longer range in terms of cost for this. Is it kind of like life insurance, I guess, is the question. Whereas, as you know, life insurance goes up as you get older.
Mm-hmm.
Though I think it should go down, but then again, I'm not running the insurance companies.
Yep.
But the fact is it part of that equation? Is it like underwriting like that, or how does that work?
It is. And one of the important issues to realize is that long-term care insurance companies now have paid out almost $7 billion in claims, and that's just in the last year. And so the fact is that these companies are paying an awful lot out, and in order to protect themselves, they're going to have to really go through a thorough review of your health history. And it's tougher and tougher all the time. So why then should an employer bother if half their employees couldn't qualify? Because by having an employer make this available to their employees, they're going to get underwriting concessions. It's going to be easier for the employees to buy the policies. That's a benefit they can never get on their own. And employers need to realize they don't have to buy the policies for that to be the case. So it's a huge value add just to allow individuals to lock in their eligibility. And that's what employers have the ability to do. In terms of cost, the younger you are, the better. More of our clients now are in their 20s and 30s than ever. So the younger you are when you plan, the lower your premium.
When you're talking about small companies versus large companies, I guess the question then is it there an inherent benefit to being in a large company from this standpoint because it's a bigger pool, a larger number of people? Or can small companies band into groups like organizations or associations and pool together to put together all their organizations?
That's a
or
great
is
question.
In healthcare that's not allowed in terms of unless you're in a, you know, maybe one of the big Anthem plans through the chamber or something in different organizations. Can they do that or is that not allowed?
That's a great question. With regards to discounts, you can do that. So we'll provide associations discounts all the time. Underwriting concessions? Uh-uh. It's done on a company-by-company basis. So, yeah, a bigger a company is, the more likely it is they might get some more significant underwriting concessions. But if you're a company of 20, 30, 40 people, you still have the ability to get significant reductions in underwriting criteria for all of your employees. There's usually a minimum number of policies that has to be obtained. Typically, it's 10. And so if 10 employees participate, you're able to get some underwriting concessions. And that's what most employers are really interested in finding.
No, absolutely. I think it benefits both parties in this
absolutely.
Particular case.
Absolutely. That's right.
That's the key of what we're talking about today. Can you give a few tips for people who are out there thinking about this or company leaders that are out there, maybe a few tips of what they should start thinking about before they contact you? What should they get prepared for these type of conversations?
Well, the best way is to go to www.ltcfp.com, and that'll help generate the questions that you need to figure out what your next steps are. But the other thing is to talk with employees that are caregivers. That is one of the best ways to determine how important this issue is. Those employees who are young, healthy, invincible, and not dealing with this will never say it's an important issue.
No, I certainly understand. And that's certainly, I think, not only the website, but, you know, you mentioned earlier people are sometimes surprised by how many people are dealing with this issue. The fact is more and more people are dealing with it every day. We're getting older as a society.
Yep. It's not going
away.
There
are more people retiring than ever. There are more people dealing with this health issues and things of long-term care. So I think that, you know, this is a timely and very important topic that companies really do need to start thinking about if they haven't already. And maybe get over that statement of, I just don't want to talk about this because, you know, it's what it is. So, you know, they could go to what website again?
I'll make sure. www.ltcfp.com.
And your organization, tell me a little bit about it.
LTC Financial Partners was created about 10 years ago. I was one of the founding partners. And we specialize in one thing, which is long-term care planning. We focus significantly at the worksite, and we also have hundreds of specialists across the United States helping individuals solve this problem. And so LTC Financial Partners is an organization that works with large companies, organizations, brokerage firms, all the way down to mom and pop companies to help them figure this solution out.
And so you said you're a nationwide organization.
We are, yep.
So anybody from anywhere across the coast could contact one of your organizational partners.
That's correct.
Correct.
Yeah.
And have somebody locally within that area.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's great. Well, I want to thank you very much, Todd, for being on the show today. I appreciate it. And it's always good to see you.
Thanks, Dave.
And now the HR tip of the week. Let's talk about training. Sometimes it is difficult for companies large and small to do the best training in a practical way. Sometimes it's better if you do a thing called cluster training. These are where you bring multiple companies together to join up and to do training that cut costs and save time, not only for the organization, but for the employees. Sometimes groups, trade associations, chambers of commerce, business clubs do training. So take advantage of those and to bring your small business or your employees the best training possible. That is your HR tip of the week. Next week on the HR Power Hour, we're going to be talking with Eric Peterson. He's the Manager of Diversity and Inclusion for SHRM, the Society of Human Resource Management. And he's going to be talking about why diversity and inclusion makes organizations stronger and more profitable. Thank you for listening and catch us every week at 2 p.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at hrpowerhour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.